Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'd. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وقال تبارك وتعالى فاستبقوا الخيرات وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر ومن قام إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر وكما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most beloved علماء الكرام, elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider, whom we are totally dependent on. Peace and salutations be upon our master, Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We always hear these words, probably read these words in the newspapers, and in different contexts, you come across this word of competition. And sometimes, we're all eager, sometimes we just give up, we don't even attempt entering these competitions, because we think it's not, you know, it can't happen, maybe one in a million chance, you're going to win this competition, so you don't even take a try. But I think the concept of competition, we all understand, and we all basically, in our own ways, also we compete with one another. Perhaps not in that competition where we want to win some mystery prize that's there, or a prize that's put up for grabs for whatever reason, then you'll win something. That's one way a competition can take place. But also everything in our worldly lives, we think about it, we compete with one another. In maybe our business, if your business is doing so much of turnover, and your competitor is doing more turnover than you, is drawing more customers than you, then you now want to strategize. And you'll think now, how can I increase my marketing? What is wrong with my human resources that I have? There's something wrong with the people I have, my employees, they're not doing their job properly. There's some problem with my budgeting, how much I've allocated for the different departments. But you will strategize to see now how you can outwin that competitor of yours in the business that you have. Or even our own way, perhaps in your home that you have, if your neighbor is putting up some a new building or an outhouse or doing some renovations to their home, then you'll sometimes think, okay, let me see how I can also do the similar thing. And like that, in different ways, that is the world that we live in. We always try to think of ways to compete with one another and to beat one another and to do better than one another. But let us, at the end of it, realize that if we have these type of competitions with regards to this world, there is no end. There is no point in our life that will come, that will say, now you're satisfied and you're happy. Because the hadith has mentioned it quite clearly. لَوْ كَانَ لِإِبْنِ آدَمَ وَادِيًا مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ أَحَبَّ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ وَادِيًا وَلَن يَمْلَأَ فَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابُ. If you had to have an entire valley of gold, you will not be happy. You will still want the second valley of gold. And the only time you'll really be close, you'll be happy, and you know, where you cannot do anything more, is when you're in the grave. See, nothing will keep your mouth closed and full, except the sand of the grave. That is the nature of this world, and that is why it is very, very important for us to understand that. And whatever condition we currently find ourselves in, let us be happy with that condition. As the hadith says quite beautifully, see, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. Be happy with the destiny, whatever Allah has decreed for you, then you can count yourself to be the richest and wealthiest of all people. And when it comes to the system of this world, when it comes to the material things of this world, always have this type of mindset and this approach. انظر إلى من هو تحتكم. The look at that person who is beneath you. Look at that person who has lesser than you. Look at that person who is in a more difficult position than you. Don't ever look at that person who is in a better off position than you. I'm talking about with regards to the world, material things and the world that we live in. Look at those people who are beneath you, who are less fortunate than you. If you have this type of mindset and approach, then again, inshallah, you will be living a very happy and content life in this world. You'll never be unhappy. Inshallah, it'll also be a very good way of ridding and cleansing ourselves of the evil qualities of jealousy that might come creep up because it eat you up. So if you have this type of mindset, I have a one-bedroom house, alhamdulillah. Look at that person who has no house. Don't look at the person who got two-bedroom house. If you are driving a bicycle, or you got maybe a score in our terms, don't look at that person who got a better car than you and then think, now how I can have a better car, how I can improve and up my game and up my status and position, because then will always be your focus and you'll never be happy with whatever you have. So with regards to the world and the system of this world, competition is not good. It is actually detrimental to us. We should rather have the mindset and mentality of qanaat, of contentment, and we'll be happy with whatever Allah has destined for us. Look at the person who is lower than us. Yes, contrary now. I recited two ayats of the Quran, just a portion of this ayah. When it comes to matters of deen, and that is where the challenge is for all of us. We are now in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, the ulama has given us a lot of bayan and discussion about the fazail of Ramadan and some of the masail of Ramadan. I don't intend going into that discussion. But I'm focusing on that aspect of competition and healthy competition. And maybe we can qualify it also by saying sincere competition for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very good when it comes to matters of our deen. Allah says in the Quran, He uses two words that I mentioned in the ayahs of the Quran. One is, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. And the other one is, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. وَسَارِعُوا is, from the Arabic word, maybe مُسَارَعَة. It means let us not be laid back and relaxed. Rather, let us be eager and enthusiastic, and let us go forward and hasten towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more especially in this month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, many of us, we have this type of mindset, and this type of attitude and environment is like, now it's Ramadan, and we're going to relax now, we're going to take it easy from our businesses. Yes, it's a very good approach, and we should be doing that. But what happens is that now we become so laid back and relaxed, we forget that we're supposed to be relaxed and taking it easy and cooling off with regards to our worldly activities in Ramadan. But with regards to our dini activities, with regards to our salah, with regards to our tilawat of Quran, this is something we should be we should be going out of our way. We should be now excelling in this. We should be exceeding all bounds. There should be no limits, and we should be going out of our way and exerting ourselves in amal salihah, in good deeds in this month of Ramadan. And that was the ayah musara, hastening, being very, very quick, and being the first and taking the forefront in good deeds in this month of Ramadan. The other ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word fastabiqu. Fastabiqu, maybe from the Arabic word musabaka. Musabaka is to compete with one another. And here we need to try and put up these good type of challenges. Again, it has to be qualified with sincerity and not for any other reason but for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To have a competition and an eagerness to outdo others in coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a mentality and the mindset we need to adopt in this month of Ramadan, that let me see how much more I can do. Therefore, we come back to the hadith. For dunya, look at the person lesser than you. But for deen, when it comes to matter of deen, whether it's tilawat of Quran, whether it's our salah, whether it's charity, whatever it is, we should try and see how we can exceed. Now here we don't look at the person lower. Don't say, well, I'm reading two salahs a day. My friend over there doesn't read any salah. At least I'm better than him. No, no. We should have the mindset of saying, I'm reading two salahs a day. Let's see how I can be like that person who's reading his five daily salahs. And let me do better than him. I'll read even more. I'll read six salahs. It's tahajjud. And I'll add on the ishraq and nawabin, especially in the month of Ramadan. So when it comes to matters of our deen, we should now see how we can go out of our way and excel, hasten, and go better than anybody else. And we can understand this principle from the practices of the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala majmain. It was in a battle of Tabuk. It was a different. Normally Rasulullah never disclosed. He never told the Sahaba where we are going to because of strategic reasons. Right? In the context of war, there will be spies amongst them. He never disclosed where they are going. He just told them, get ready, there's whatever mission that we are going for. But in this particular expedition, what was the expedition of Tabuk, it was a distance about 1,200 kilometers away. In that environment of hot sun, Here in this expedition, Rasulullah told the Sahaba at the onset, this is the mission and this is we are going to, so that they can be prepared, maybe mentally, physically, in every other ways for this particular journey. In this particular incident, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called for the Sahaba to contribute, to bring forward for deen matters, that their aspects, whatever it is they can be used inshallah for the cause of deen for this particular expedition. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, at this particular instance, he thought to himself that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, on every occasion, he is excelling, he does better than me, he is always in the forefront. I'm going to do something so special. But the intention, look, the point I'm driving here is, look at what is the mindset with regards to deen. He said, I want to do better than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in this particular instance. So when he comes and they are sitting in this particular gathering, so when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls and he asks the Sahaba what they have brought, so Umar radiallahu anhu stands up and he says, O Nabi of Allah, I've brought half of everything I have. Half. You literally mean half of his entire household and possessions, everything he took, it made it into half. Half he left behind, and half, he says, right, is for the expedition, it can be used for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a huge sacrifice for anybody to make. Easy for me to say, think about it, can anybody here say that this is the type of contribution they have made for deen in the context? Nobody. So definitely he said, a thought went to my mind also, Umar radiallahu anhu, saying that, nobody is going to be able to beat me on this occasion. Then Rasulullah calls for others, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stands up, and the Nabi of Allah asks him, O Abu Bakr, what have you brought? And he says, O Nabi of Allah, I have brought my entire household. I brought all my possessions. I have brought all my possessions. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, surprised, asks him, O Abu Bakr, what have you left behind for your family? He says, I left Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for them. So Umar radiallahu anhu exclaims, when he sees this enthusiasm, this eagerness and the sacrifice of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, says, I don't think I'll ever be able to beat or compete with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Look at the spirit of competition for the sake of deen. Who will be able to do more? In fact, Umar radiallahu anhu wanted so much to be like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He wanted to get, he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, O Abu Bakr, I'll give you my entire life's good deeds. I want you to give me only one night of yours. I want to give me only one night of yours, and that is that night that you spent with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the cave. I want that one night, I'll give you my entire life's good deeds. So this is a spirit that was there amongst the Sahaba Ikram, and that is a spirit we want, and encouraging all of us, inshallah, in this month of Ramadan, to go out, to hasten and to go forward for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our own ways. But when it comes to tilawat of Quran and the different things that the ulama have prescribed, the deeds that we can do in Ramadan, especially because this is our bonus, this is our wholesale season. And already 4 days are already completed. It's already the fourth of Ramadan today. Whether we like it or not, it'd be very quickly before the month of Ramadan is over. It's like the example I give. You see, it's like a person, they have this type of competition. Just for an example, we're giving this. If a person gives you a trolley, and he says, right, take this trolley and go through the store, and whatever you fill in the trolley is yours. But the clock starts now. And he starts, right, takes out his stopwatch and he starts, he presses the button, and soon as it goes, 1, 2, the seconds are going. Now you can get different responses. One person, competitor, he'll take his trolley and he's going in the first aisle, and he's just filling and filling and filling everything, wherever he can get, whatever his hands comes upon, he's just filling his trolley. And 60 seconds up, he is there. Whatever he got in his trolley, it's his. He benefited in that way. Second person, he say, okay, 1 second, wait, I'll start just now. And he just left, looking right, he's looking left, he's dilly-dallying and delaying. Before he knows it, it's 30 seconds. Before he knows it, he just starts going slowly. Okay, this one is not too good, this one is not nice. Or my wife asked me to get this chana dalia, let me go there for the Ali mix. And he is thinking about what he wants. Before he knows it, the 60 seconds is up, he maybe got 1 or 2 items on his trolley. So he goes to that person, and he says, you know what, I never realized, give me another chance. Time is up. Khalas, who has benefited, has benefited. Whoever has snoozed, has lost. You snooze, you lose. So like that, soon as the month of Ramadan commenced, the hilal of Ramadan, or the month of Ramadan commenced on Monday night, Maghrib time, the clock has already started to tick. Now think about it, 4 days have completed. How much have we filled into our trolleys? We're still parking back and relaxing and looking and waiting for something to come. We're supposed to be hastening and we're supposed to be filling up our trolleys. Yes, we are doing that. Many of us are doing that. But we're going every day to fill our trolleys with the halim and the naan and the samosas and the pies, and we're filling our stomachs also with all of that. And that's the only memories we got so far of the 4 days. We're supposed to be filling ourselves up with the spiritual nourishment and the spiritual food. So nevertheless, 4 days are up, almost up 4 days. We still got another 27, 26 days or 25 days, depending on how many days the month of Ramadan is. Let us try now and see how much now we can capitalize on these moments and fill up our spiritual hearts. So the concept of musara, of hastening and competing with one another, is very, very crucial. I also wanted to spend a few moments, because time is going so quickly, on a very crucial and important part of our lives, especially in this month of Ramadan, not because it is compulsory on every individual, it's just a cultural thing, and I'm saying it in that context because zakat does not become compulsory on every individual in Ramadan. Zakat becomes compulsory on you when you were the owner of Nisab. It can be Muharram, it can be Zulqada, it can be Zulhijjah. Every person sitting here differs from when his zakatable date is. So it's very, very important for us to understand this masail of zakat. But this month of Ramadan is also a very good opportunity and occasion for us to be extra generous. It's known as the Shahrul Muwasat. It is a month of being extra generous and going out of our way to share with others. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned a hadith of the Prophet in a hadith. He says that when a person gives, when a person donates and he spends, there are various benefits. One is, he says, the angels make a special dua for this individual. Allahumma a'ti munfiqan khalafa. Oh Allah, give that person who is spending a better substitute. Wa a'ti mumsikan talafa. And that person who is holding back, he is not giving, he is being like a miser and stingy in the way amount that he is spending. Then an angel is actually making like a bad dua that give him destruction. Now it's important for us to understand this ayah of the Quran as well. We don't have time to go into details, but Allah talks about this in the Quran. He says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَا وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes riba to be destroyed. You think your money is doing more by gaining interest, but actually you're destroying your wealth. And by giving charity, by us sharing and giving others, the more you give, the more you will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah causes the sadaqat to grow. In the tafsir it is mentioned, it's like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the sadaqah that a person gives and the charity that he gives and the kindness that he has to others. And Allah accepts it like how he sees that a small fowl or a small animal, a person has a small animal, he takes it and he nurtures it and looks after it until it becomes a strong, healthy animal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates when a person spends a little. And when he says spending, it doesn't matter the amount. What matters is the intention behind it, the sacrifice behind that which we give in a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us great amount of barakah in the wealth that a person spends from. If we hold back, we actually don't give that which is supposed to be given, then we are causing more problems and miseries to come in our life. We mentioned in one hadith that in Mishkat there's a hadith, the narration mentioned about where there was this person, Nabi Sallam talks about, where he sees this clouds coming, and a voice that is coming from the clouds, that go and rain upon so and so's orchard. So he was curious why the water must only come in that person's orchard. How come not in other person's gardens? So he followed and he reached that garden where the rains were only falling on that particular orchard. So he asked the owner of that orchard, what is there, something special you are doing, that the special barakat and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending only upon you? So he says, well, my simple procedure and process is 1/3 of my earnings I keep for myself and my family. 1/3 of my earnings I put it back and plow it back into the business. I reinvest it back into the business. And 1/3 of my earnings I share with the poor, with the destitute and orphans. Now I want to ask you a question. If I had a 100,000 rand, I don't have, but if I had, as an example, hypothetical, if I have to give that 100,000 to you and say, just keep it, I want it back from you after a certain time. Right? It's an amanat by you. Now after certain days, I come back to you and I tell you, you know what? You know what you do? You keep 97,500. You keep it. Hadiah for you. You can do what you want with it. But I only want 2,500. Any sane person, normal person, who is clever, intelligent person, he'll be ecstatic. He'll be so happy. Say, yeah, take a 2,500. Yeah, take 5,000. At least you're giving me 95,000 rand to do what I want. For nothing. In a very similar manner. When we talk about paying zakat, it is not my money. Don't think about it like this. We need to change the mindset. Not my money that I'm giving to somebody else. All the wealth that you have, whether it's 1,000,000 rand, whether it's 1,000 rand, or 1,000,000,000 rand, all the money that you have, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving it to you as an amanat. It's a trust. It belongs to Allah. He is giving it to you. All this rule of zakat is saying, look here, 97.5% you keep. You do what you want with it. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only 2.5%, that is the amount of zakat that we have to pay. 2.5% only, you give it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the avenues are the correct recipients. So just think about it in that way. And when it comes to the time of giving, let us have a bigger heart in the month of Ramadan. And on this point, there are three important critical things. We don't have the time to go into details. But we should make it a point of doing proper hisab kitab. This is somewhere we lack. In other words, proper hisab kitab means we need to sit down and, you know, do a proper inventory of, if it's a business that you have, what stock that you have, and investments that you have, gold that you have, cash that you have. You need to sit down and do a proper inventory. At the end, calculate whatever deductible debts, etc., whatever are the rules that we need to find out. But do proper account when it comes to the discharging of zakat, and at the end, give a little bit extra. But many of us, there are very few people who actually are doing this proper accountability and doing the hisab kitab with regards to the discharging and fulfillment of the zakat. When it comes to the women folk at home as well, they need to know exactly how many pieces of gold or silver they have. What is the weight of each one? Do a calculation and calculate it based on the current price of gold, etc. And whatever is due, try and give a little bit more. Only 2.5% we need to give. The rest Allah is saying, keep it for yourself. So rule number one, point we can take for today, please, let us try and make sure we do this hisab kitab properly. Number two, there are many, many masail. In other words, rules, and every person, I cannot go into a discussion from the front here on a Friday platform explaining all the rules of zakat. There are individual cases and scenarios. People have specific type of investments, maybe business transactions they're involved in. You need to find out, in your context, what is the rule? How do I pay zakat? I have loans. Maybe you have a house, you have cars, you're selling the cars, you have personal use cars, jewelry, whatever, different type of investments, local investment, offshore. There are so many variables. We need to find out the masail and the rules attached to your one. And make it a point of doing that. Don't be embarrassed and ashamed. Find out and do everything in correct manner, especially when it comes to the rule of zakat. Remember, the hadith says it quite clearly. It says, مَا خَالَتَتْ الزَّكَاتُ مَالًا قَتُّ إِلَّا أَهْلَكَتْهُ. He says, if zakat wealth is still attached to your wealth, think about it like this, is like this poison, it's going to contaminate the rest of your wealth. By us giving the zakat out, خُذْ مِنَ مُوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ. Allah says that give that zakat, it is a means of purifying your wealth. So when we are giving out zakat, not good to say it in this, it's like, think about it, we're taking out something that is going to poison, and like the dirt that's going to cause the rest of my wealth to become contaminated and problems for me in my life. So by me taking it out, is actually cleansing my own wealth and my own life. So please, make it a point of finding out the applicable rules and masail to our situation, and go diligently to do it. Not like a haphazard thing, no, maybe it's like this, or should have been like this, and just do it anyhow. Because it's a danger. If little 1 cent, or 10 cent, or 1 rand, or 100 rand is mixed with your wealth, which is not supposed to be by you, then it's a problem. And the third point, I just want to share and conclude on this, is when we're giving zakat, it is critical and crucial you as the donor are responsible to make sure that the wealth reaches the correct people. You cannot just give any person standing in some street corner zakat money, because the recipients, what we call in Arabic the mustahiqeen of zakat, are clearly categorized and specified. So much so that if you have to give your zakat to somebody without doing any type of research, investigations, finding, just gave it anyhow haphazardly, then your zakat is not going to be regarded as discharged. And obviously, recipients, people who collect money, are there, you want to give money, Anybody was ready to take money, organizations and different people and people to collect their debt. So they're going to, you don't have a problem for that. But you as the donor, that is my plea to those people especially, make sure we do some type of thorough investigation. Your precious gold, if you have some gold coins, would you take it and just give it to anybody? No, you'll say, let me just find some, maybe a vault, you'll put it in that vault and you pay monthly also to safeguard your money. You'll keep your possessions very, very safely and you'll make sure you got it locked up and protected because it's your possession. So when we are giving this zakat, we should think about it like this, that I'm giving something that is actually being a means of my preservation. It's my duty and responsibility. And let us not for a moment think that by me giving that person zakat, I am doing him a favor. No. Reverse it. By me giving him zakat, or by me giving him some charity or help, actually he is doing me a favor. Because for every cent and every penny I spend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless my wealth. It's a means of purifying me. He is actually helping me by accepting and being a recipient of zakat. But the point is, let us be extra careful with regards to the recipients and the people or the organizations there that we actually give our wealth to. We make dua. Allah subhanahu wa give us all the ability and tawfiq of practicing whatever has been said. Just to summarize, in the beginning we spoke about musabaqa, having healthy competition. Let us read more Quran, inshallah. Let us read more salah. Let us spend more in a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala competition and hastening towards good deeds. And two or three rules regarding discharging of our zakat was discussed. May Allah subhanahu give us the ability of putting the practice. And one last plea to all of you. Inshallah, we know Friday is tartib. Many, majority, if not all of us, on a Friday after Jummah, it's time for dal and rice or biryani. So this is the first Jummah of Ramadan. And I hope, alhamdulillah, all of us sitting here fasting. So when we go out today, we had that half an hour, if we just use that as an example, half an hour we usually spend in eating our biryani and our dal and rice. So my plea today is to use that same half hour, not ask you any other time. That same half an hour, please, let us try and at least dedicate that today, especially to tilawat of one part of Quran, inshallah. So that same half an hour, dal and rice one, inshallah, leave it one side. The same half an hour today, inshallah, we'll dedicate it to part of Quran, inshallah. Allah give us all the tawfiq and ability of putting the practice. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.